This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Harper Audio presents Anthony Burgess reading selections from A Clockwork Orange, for which he created a language that includes a unique vocabulary of violence.
So we scattered out into the big winter noche and walked down Marganita Boulevard and then turned into Boothby Avenue, and there we found what we were pretty well looking for, a Malenki jest to start off the evening with. There was a doddery, starry, schoolmaster-type Beck, glasses on and his rot open to the cold, notchy air. He had books under his arm and a crappy umbrella and was coming round the corner from the public biblio, which not many ludies used those days. You never really saw many of the older bourgeois type out after nightfall those days, what with a shortage of police and we fine young Malchikiwicks about. And this prof-type Cholovyek was the only one walking in the hold of the street. So we goodied up to him, very polite, and I said, "Pardon me, brother." He looked Malenki a bit poogly when he vidded the four of us like that, coming up so quiet and polite and smiling, but he said, "Yes, what is it?" in a very loud teacher-type golos, as if he was trying to show us he wasn't poogly. I said, "I see you have books under your arm, brother. It is indeed a rare pleasure these days to come across somebody that still reads, brother." "Oh," he said, all shaky, "is it? Oh, I see." And he kept looking from one to the other of we four, finding himself now like in the middle of a very smiling and polite square. "Yes," I said, "it would interest me greatly, brother, if you would kindly allow me to see what books those are that you have under your arm. I like nothing better in this world than a good clean book, brother." "Clean," he said. "Clean, eh?" And then Pete scratted those three books from him and handed them round real scorry. Being three, we all had one each to vidy at, except for Dim. The one I had was called Elementary Crystallography. So I opened it up and said, "Excellent, really, first class," keeping turning the pages. Then I said, in a very shocked-type golos, "But what is this here? What is this filthy slovo? I blush to look at this word. You disappoint me, brother, you do, really." "But," he cried, but. "Now," said Georgie, "here is what I should call real dirt. There's one slovo beginning with an F and another with a C." He had a book called The Miracle of the Snowflake. "Oh," said poor old Dim, smotting over Pete's shoulder and going too far like he always did, "it says here what he done to her, and there's a picture and all. Why," he said, "you're nothing but a filthy-minded old skypebird." "An old man of your age, brother," I said, and I started to rip up the book I'd got, and the others did the same with the ones they had, Dim and Pete doing a tug-of-war with the rhombohedral system. The starry prof type began to creech, "But those are not mine. Those are the property of the municipality. This is sheer wantonness and vandal work," or some such lovos. And he tried to sort of wrest the books back off us, which was like pathetic. "You deserve to be taught a lesson, brother," I said. "That you do." This crystal book I had was very tough bound and hard to razz-rest to bits, being real starry and made in days when things were made to last like. But I managed to rip the pages up and chuck them in handfuls of like snowflakes, though big, all over this creeching old Vec, and then the others did the same with hers, old Dim just dancing about like the clown he was. "There you are," said Pete. "There's the mackerel of the cornflake for you, you dirty reader of filth and nastiness." "You naughty old Vec, you," I said, and then we began to filly about with him. Pete held his rookers, and Georgie sort of hooked his rot wide open for him, and Dim yanked out his false zubies, upper and lower. He threw these down on the pavement, and then I treated them to the old boot crush, though they were hard bastards, like being made of some new Orosho plastic stuff. The old Vec began to make sort of chumbling shooms, woof, woof, woof. So Georgie let go of holding his goobers apart, and just let him have one in the toothless rot with his ringy fist. And that made the old Vec start moaning a lot then. Then out comes the blood, my brothers, real beautiful. So all we did then was to pull his outer platties off, stripping him down to his vest and long underpants. Very starry. Dim smacked his head off near. And then Pete kicks him lovely in his pot, and we let him go. He went sort of staggering off. Not having been too hard of a tall shot, really, going, "Oh, oh, oh." Not knowing where or what was what, really. And we had a snigger at him and then riffled through his pockets. Dim dancing round with his crappy umbrella meanwhile, but there wasn't much in them. There were a few starry letters, some of them dating right back to 1960, with "My dearest, dearest" in them, and all that chapuka, and a key ring, and a starry, leaky pen. Old Dim gave up his umbrella dance and, of course, had to start reading one of the letters out loud, like to show the empty street he could read. "My darling one," he recited in this very high-type gloss, "I shall be thinking of you while you are away and hope you will remember to wrap up warm when you go out at night." Then he let out a very shumnish smeck, "woo, woo, woo," pretending to start wiping his yarmer with it. "All right," I said, "let it go, my brothers." In the trousers of this starry Vec, there was only a malenky bit of cutter, money that is, not more than 3 gollies. So we gave all his messy little coin the scatter treatment, it being hen comb, to the amount of Pretty Polly we had on us already. Then we smashed the umbrella and raz-razed his platties and gave them to the blowing winds, my brothers, and then we'd finished with the starry teacher type Vec. We hadn't done much, I know, but that was only like the start of the evening, and I make no happy polylogies to thee or thine for that. The knives in the milk plus were stabbing away nice norisho now. The next thing was to do the Sammy Act, which was one way to unload some of our cutter, so we'd have more of an incentive like for some shop crusting, as well as it being a way of buying an alibi in advance. So we went into the Duke of New York on Amy's Avenue, and sure enough in the snug, there were 3 or 4 old babuchkas peating their blackened suds on S.A., state aid, that is. Now, we were the very good Malchicks, smiling good even song to one and all, though these wrinkled old lighters started to get all shook, their veiny old rookers all trembling round their glasses and making the suds spill on the table. "Leave us be, lads," said one of them, her face all mappy with being 1,000 years old. "We're only poor old women." But we just made with the zubies, flash, 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 sat down, rang the bell, and waited for the boy to come. When he came, all nervous and rubbing his rookers on his grazzy apron, we ordered us 4 veterans, a veteran being rum and cherry brandy mixed, which was popular just then, some liking a dash of lime in it, that being the Canadian variation. Then I said to the boy, "Give these poor old babuchkas over there a nourishing something, large Scotchman all round and something to take away." And I poured my pocket of deng all over the table, and the other 3 did likewise, oh, my brothers. So 2 fire goals were brought in for the scared, starry lighters, and they knew not what to do or say. One of them got out, "Thanks, lads," but you could see they thought there was something dirty-like coming. Anyway, they were each given a bottle of Yank General, cognac, that is, to take away, and I gave money for them to be delivered each a dozen of blackened suds that following morning, they to leave their stinking old Chena's addresses at the counter. Then with the cutter that was left over, we did purchase, my brothers, all the meat pies, pretzels, cheese snacks, crisps and chalk bars in that mesto, and those 2 were for the old sharps. Then we said, "Back in a minuta," and the old petitsas were still saying, "Thanks, lads, and God bless you, boys," and we were going out without 1 cent of cutter in our carmans.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.